Welcome to the Grace Point Church Podcast. I'm James Hicks. This week, Grace Point did not have on-site services, rather live stream services. And Pastor Ben brought forth a message called Faith, Not Fear. Let's listen in.
Oh, by the way, good morning, Grace Point. It is certainly good to be with you this morning. I tell you, as I'm looking out here and I see the three guys that are here with me this morning, it's I'm just really, really grateful, really thankful that I don't have to just look at them every Sunday morning as on a regular basis. So, ladies, you've got to get back here to balance things out just a little bit. But it is certainly good to be here. Thank you, James, for all you're doing on the technical side. Jeff, for being here to keep a little bit of semblance of normalcy for us to open up with the way you normally do in such a wonderful way. And then thank you to Ron, who's here for moral support. Great to have you, buddy. And so listen, it is, as James said, unprecedented. These are different times. One of the things that I've got to tell you I have to try to do this morning is stay in this area. James has said that's where the camera's set up, and I can't move around a whole lot. And I don't know if I'll be able to handle that or not, but we'll give it a shot and give it a try. But it is unprecedented. Here's where we are. We're at a place that I believe, you know, people run the gamut, if you will, of emotions and opinion as far as all of this is concerned. So many people think this is the most ridiculous thing ever. Some people think we're not doing enough.
And you hear all these different stories. But the main thing is that I believe, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that what we need to do as a people is to, number one, trust the Lord. You and I have, those of us who know the Lord,
those of us who are saved by His grace, man, we are secure in the reality that God is God. He is our God, and we're comfortable to the fact that we know that beyond a shadow of a doubt we'll go to heaven, even if the worst case scenario takes place. For those of you that may be joining us this morning who don't know the Lord as your personal Savior, if you've never surrendered who you are and everything you understand of yourself over to everything you understand of Him and recognize that He alone is the pathway to heaven, let me be clear to let you know that you do not have to freak out. You don't have to panic. Because there is hope, and the hope is in the Lord, who is the creator of all things. This didn't take Him off guard. It didn't catch Him by surprise. So trust me, you can have the security and the peace that we do, knowing that we're secure in Him, and all you have to do is surrender your heart and life to Him. And no matter who you are, no matter where you are, no matter what you've done, He will forgive, and He will bring you into His family. And I'll share more about that later, as we kind of conclude the message this morning. But I was reading something that I found very interesting, particularly in this case. I've titled the message this morning, appropriately, I think, Faith, Not Fear. Don't need to fear. I read this by a quote by Vance Havner. Whether the weather be cold or whether the weather be hot, whether the weather is good or whether
the weather is not, whatever the weather will weather the weather, whether we like it or not. That's by Vance Havner. So no matter what happens, you and I can know and rest assured that God is still on the throne and He'll get us through it. And if I had a bunch of people here, I'd say, can I get an amen? So there you go. The other thing we need to think about is this. From the perspective of this message, 2 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse number 7 says this. Or let's go back to verse 6. For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. And then verse 7, very critical. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power, and love, and self-control, or a sound mind. Listen, we don't have to fear. So this morning I want to share with you kind of some thoughts the Lord laid on my heart about this concept of having faith, not fear. What should we do in a time like this? What should we do when it comes to approaching what most of us in our lifetime have never seen anything like? And the first thing I would share with you is this, that we need to strive for wisdom and common sense. Strive for wisdom and common sense. You see, there are a couple of different, there are a lot of different ranges of emotion that we can have, but there's a lot of things that, that kind of go one way or the other. So I would submit to you to have wisdom and common sense, we need to avoid extremes. You know, it's you've got the extreme left, you've got the extreme right politically, you've got the extreme in response to this situation, and the extreme on the other end as no response to the situation. So we need to avoid extremes. What do I mean by that? First of all, as children of God, we need to not adopt this posture, if you will. Presumption as a child of God. We need to not approach this from a perspective of presumption as a child of God. What do I mean by that? We're making this statement. When it's my time, it's my time. It might sound good. It might sound like, you know, we have great faith or whatever. But what we need to understand is that God has a time for us. And God's time for us is in His timing. You and I don't need to go to an extreme to presume upon God to say that He wants us to do or not take caution in some area or to throw caution to the wind. I mean, you think about that concept. When it's my time, it's my time. So if I go out to the interstate and I stand on the side of the road and I look at an 18-wheeler transfer truck coming down the road and I jump out in front of it saying, when it's my time, and expect the Lord to miraculously stop the truck from hitting me or allow me to go through it without dying. Listen, if I jump out in front of a truck that's speeding down the highway, it's my time. Does that make sense? In other words, you and I need to recognize that we don't need to just presume upon God. And then when I was thinking about that perspective, when it's my time, so I'm going to do whatever I've done and I'm not going to change anything. Well, when we do that, you know what we're not doing? We're not living as Jesus called us to live, loving our neighbors as ourselves. In other words, we're in our presumption, we're not considering others. You see, one thing that I know, I don't know much about medical things. I don't know much about viruses and all that stuff. But one thing I do know for sure, that in order for a virus to survive, it has to have a host. And you and I, as living beings, we become the host. And so if I just completely go to the extreme where I'm not going to do anything, and I'm not going to use common sense, and I'm not going to be wise, and I'm just going to presume on God, He's got this, He won't let me get sick, then what I'm doing is I'm putting myself out there in a position to where I become a host, and I can be used to transmit a virus to somebody else. So I would submit to you to be wise and to use common sense is don't willingly become a host for this virus. I mean, the truth of the matter is that we are still in our mortal bodies. We're still in these mortal bodies. We live in a fallen world. And sickness and illness affects the saved as well as the unsaved. It affects the child of God as well as those who are not children of God. We need to understand that these mortal bodies can suffer. You and I both know that. I don't know about you, but I suffer sometimes. When I have a headache, guess what? I've got a headache. It's no different than a person who is lost that has a headache, because I still feel that pain. Romans 8:23 makes it very clear that we live in a place where sin is dominant. We're in a fallen world. And because of that, you and I need to understand that sickness and all is part of the deal. And so we need to make sure that we do avoid the extreme of just simple presumption upon the Lord. But then the other extreme we need to avoid is this, and that is of panic. We don't need to panic. Listen, as a child of God, we are the last people in the world that should be paralyzed by fear. We're the last people that should be paralyzed by fear. You know why? Because we have this hope. We have this confidence that no matter what takes place in this world, no matter what illness may come, no matter what pain there may be in this world, no matter what tragedy befalls us, we know that we are secure in Christ. And because of Him, we are guaranteed glory forever and ever and ever. I mean, it's the thought of this thing. I listened to a testimony by a believer one time. We talked about how he was in a position where some people from his past life kind of came back to him, and he was now a believer, and he was faced with a situation where a gun was put to his head, and he was threatened in that way. And his response was simply this: sudden death, sudden glory. Do what you will. Because of that, we can have this confidence that we do not have to have a spirit of fear. Whereas we shouldn't presume on God, we shouldn't ignore His promises either. As you look at 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, here's what the scripture says. It says, once more, verse 7, we'll read it again, "For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." We don't have to be afraid, church. And then also in Psalm 27, verses 1 through 5, we need to consider that as a message from the Lord. It says this: "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversary and my foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing I have asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For He will hide me in His shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of His tent. He will lift me high upon a rock." Child of God, listen. We need to understand that God is in control. We can take comfort in that. And you and I need to really, really take a deep breath. Relax. God has got this. In doing what we should do, we need to have wisdom and common sense. And in order to practice both wisdom and common sense, we need to avoid the extremes. We don't need to presume on God. We don't need to act as if nothing is amiss. We don't need to act as if we're above all of this. But then we also need to avoid the extreme of panic. We don't have to be afraid. You and I have the Lord on our side. So we need to strive for wisdom and common sense. And then secondly, here's what we need to do. We need to seek the refuge of the Lord. We need to strive for wisdom and common sense. And then secondly, we need to seek the refuge of the Lord. In order to seek the refuge of the Lord, you know what we need to do? And I think this is a good reminder for all of us. And it's a good reminder for all of us, no matter what the circumstance, whether things are normal or whether they're not, whether things are tough or whether they're good, we always need to remember and acknowledge that He alone is our hope. God is our hope. He alone is the one that we can depend on. He alone is the one that we can turn to. We need to acknowledge He's our hope. Psalm chapter 46 in verse 1 says this: "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Friend, listen. When I think about my own life, one of the things that I am constantly coming back to as a believer is that, you know, I spend a lot of time reading Scripture. I spend an awful lot of time reading Scripture because I'm studying, I'm doing things like that. So I do that well. But you know what I spend probably not enough time doing? And that's in earnest, genuine, heartfelt prayer. You see, I believe you and I need to really understand that He is our refuge and our strength, and He's a present help in time of trouble. One of the things that we need to do is not spend all of our time on social media and posting this and doing that or whatever, or spending all of our time watching the news incessantly to hear all the bad news around the world. What we need to do is we need to spend, as children of God, more time in prayer, time in communication with Him. In other words, understand that He's where the peace comes from. He's where the hope lies. And we can trust Him. And we can turn to Him. And oh boy, in a time of trouble, there is no better place to be. God is our refuge, and He's our strength. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says this, "And without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists, and that He rewards those who seek Him." You see, we need to seek the refuge of the Lord. We need to look to Him. We need to look for Him. What better opportunity is there for us personally to seek the face of God, to find exactly our place in His will for our lives, and then also be a model to those around us, the world around us, our neighbors and people that we may be in contact with, if it's not in person, but by phone or by email or any number of ways. And we need to be a light to this world. And the only way we can be a light to this world is to be in the source of the light. I read the story of a man that went on a businessman from England that went on a business trip. And he ended up in France. And in France, in this business trip, he was at a shop and he was shopping and he found a beautiful music box that he wanted to take home to his wife. And he found this beautiful music box, and it was quite expensive, but he felt like he wanted to take it home to his wife. And the unique thing about it is it said on the music box that it glowed in the dark, and he thought that was an amazing thing. And so he bought this music box, and he wrapped it up, and he took it home. Well, he got it out of his suitcase after he'd gotten home, and he was talking to his wife, and he said, "Oh, I've got a wonderful gift for you." And he pulled it out and he gave it to her, and she opened it up, she unwrapped it, she pulled it out, said, "Oh, it's beautiful." And he said, "Oh, wait, look at this, watch this." And he went over and he turned off the light. And the music box did absolutely nothing. His wife looked at him like, "What in the world are you doing? It's dark, great, what good does it do?" And so he turned it back on and he thought, "Man, I have gotten ripped off." And then he found a little card that was on the inside of the cover as he opened it up. And here's what it said on the card. And it was translated, and it said this way: "If you want me to shine bright, you must first keep me in the light." So in other words, the box itself had to absorb the light of day in order for it to shine at night. It had been wrapped up in a suitcase, and it had been in the dark, and it did not have the light. So you and I, as children of God, what better opportunity we have right now than to spend time with Him, to absorb the light of the world. His name is Jesus. And then we can be a lighthouse to the rest of the world, and we can show them what it means to have peace and confidence in the Lord, to have wisdom and common sense, avoid extremes, and then seek the refuge of the Lord. We need to seek His face. Probably the quintessential passage as far as that's concerned is found, as I think Jeff even mentioned as he was opening up, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 13 through 15. And here's what it says: "When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayer that is made in this place." Verse 14 is the one that we're most familiar with, and I've put it in bold there if you can see the PowerPoint, if James has that up. "If my people who were called by my name humble themselves and pray, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land." What do we need to do? Well, the first thing we need to do in terms of seeking the Lord is we need to clear our minds of the clutter of this world. And we need to put on humility. We need to put on humility. What does it mean? Well, James chapter 4, verse 6 says, "But he gives more grace. Therefore it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." Every time you read about humility in Scripture, I'm fascinated by the reality that you know, we pray for things. We pray for wisdom. We pray for peace. We pray for healing. We pray for all the things that we pray for, and Scripture leads us to do that. But almost every time you see Scripture talk about humility, the tone changes a little bit, and it says, be humble, become humble, seek humility, do the things to be humble. You see, that's something that needs to start with us. You know, you don't see us, you don't go before the Lord and lay down and say, "Oh Lord, make me humble." You may say, "Lord, help me to get me out of me." But you and I have the responsibility to humble ourselves before the Lord. So we need to put on humility. Why is that so important? Well, I believe what God's telling us here is that in order for us to truly and fully appreciate who God is, for us to fully and totally appreciate what God wants from us, for us to fully appreciate how much we can depend on Him, requires us to humble ourselves before Him. You know, I think about what we do as a country, and I believe beyond shadow of a doubt that if there's any country on the face of the earth that's going to get through this better than anybody else, I believe because of the resources God has allowed us to have, it will be the United States of America. I believe that. But you know what? I also know that that doesn't have to be the case. I also know that if we depend solely on our medical expertise, although I believe we have the greatest medical facilities in the world, if we depend solely on our researchers, although I believe we have great researchers, if we depend totally on our ability to fix things, it's really not enough. I believe that as a nation and as a people, and it starts in the pews, it starts with us, it starts with us in our homes, we need to humble ourselves before the Lord and fully depend on and rely on Him. You know, we'll be able to hear His voice if we humble ourselves. We'll be able to see His hand in all that is happening if we humble ourselves. We'll be able to put ourselves in a better position moving forward if we'll humble ourselves. And I believe for us to really, truly reach the level of intercession with the Lord before His throne, we need to truly humble ourselves. So the first thing we need to do is humble ourselves. And then secondly, we need to pray. We need to put on humility, and then we need to pray. Notice what the Scripture says. If my people who are called by name humble themselves and pray. Friend, listen. There is no substitute for time in prayer. There is no substitute for spending time with the Lord, for calling out to Him and being quiet long enough to listen. You see, I'm real good at running before the Lord and saying, "Lord, I need this, I need this, I need that. This person needs this, they need this, they need that. The church needs this, they need this, they need that." I'm really, really good at saying, "Lord, this particular politician needs this and this one needs that." Or I'm real good at doing all those things. But a lot of times I'm not as good at saying, "Lord, here I am before You, I am humble, and I am open to hear Your voice." You see, prayer is a communication. If we don't spend as much time listening as we do talking, we're really not communicating with the Father. So in a time like this, we need to seek the refuge of the Lord. I'm going to sense and know that I am safe in the arms of God if I spend time humbly in prayer. I'm willing to listen and to hear His voice. So we need to put on humility. We need to pray. But then also we need to pursue His face. Pursue His face. "If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face." What does it mean to seek the face of the Lord? Well, I'd submit to you kind of what that means is to seek the essence of who He is. You know, the old saying is the eyes are the window to the soul. What does that mean? That you can see in the eyes kind of what's really going on. If I want to know what somebody's thinking, do I look at their belly button? Probably not. If I want to know what people are thinking, do I look at their hands? Not necessarily. If I want to know what somebody's thinking, and I want to know how somebody's feeling, I look at their face, and I can see it. You know, over the years that Debbie and I have been married, she suffered greatly with migraines. And one of the things that I've been able to do mostly over time is to look at her face. When I look at her face, even though she's trying to put on a big face, and she does, she puts on a good face, a happy face, she really strives hard not to look like she's feeling bad. But I can see it. I can see it in her eyes, and I can see it in her face, and I know when she's battling one of those horrible headaches because I see it in her face. Folks, you and I need to pursue the face of God. You see, the face of God is the opposite, if you will, to the hand of God. How often are we guilty of going before the Lord with all of our petitions and seeking His hand? Seeking what He can do for us. Seeking what He can give to us. Seeking what He may provide for us. Seeking a handout, if you will, or for Him to give something. Friend, listen, oftentimes I believe that you and I, particularly when things are tough, we need to seek the refuge of the Lord, and to do so means to seek His face more than we seek His hand. To put ourselves humbly in a place where we're praying and we're listening to His voice and we're trying to learn more and more and more about the essence of who He is. He's God. He is love. He's justice. He's wisdom. He's glory. He's unchanging. He's all-knowing. God is majestic in every way. How do we find that? Well, I believe we find that by seeking His face. Seeking the essence of who He is. And that's what God's telling us, I believe, in 2 Chronicles 7. My people who are called by My name may humble themselves and pray and seek My face. Stop looking for God to do for us and start looking for God to reveal Himself to us. Well, not only do we need to put on humility, pray, pursue His face, but then fourth, real clearly it says here in this scripture, we need to pivot from earthly ways to His ways. We need to pivot. I love that word. What does it mean to pivot? It means to turn abruptly. It means to turn in spot, if you will. It means to swivel, to pivot. And think about this, what Scripture says. My people who are called by My name humble themselves and pray and seek My face and turn from their wicked ways. You might be saying with me today, Pastor, I get that, turn from my wicked ways, but you know, I'm not really wicked. You know, I think about our congregation. I think about, we're probably a group of people that wouldn't be classified as being on the FBI's most wanted list, right? I mean, we're not a house full of terrorists, if you will. But the Scripture says that My people, called by My name, need to turn from their wicked ways. So what does that mean? Well, if we're honest with each other, and more importantly, if we're honest with ourselves, we would see that, you know what, there are things in my life, there are times in my life, there are times in my day-to-day that I do things that I know are displeasing to the Lord. You know, and sin, the Scripture tells us, is sin. And so for me to do anything outside of what the will of God for my life is, and for what's right, and anything against what is right, the only thing I can describe that as is wickedness, because it's not what God wants for us. So we need to be willing to pivot from those ways and seek to follow Him. You know, I've learned over the years that Christians are real good at justifying things. What? Human beings are good at justifying things. We can justify just about anything given enough time, right? I mean, we can talk ourselves into saying, well, that's not so bad. God doesn't mind that. He winks and looks over that. Folks, listen. It's not about what's right or wrong from a judgment perspective so much. It's about what's right or wrong for us, as opposed to what God wants for us. You see, when I do things that are displeasing to the Lord, I'm not hurting the Lord, I'm hurting me. When I do things that are sinful, I'm not hurting Him, I'm hurting me. And I may be hurting others by my testimony. We've been talking about that recently. You see, you and I need to pivot from our earthly ways, and we need to turn to His ways. You see, in order to see God's ways, we got to seek His face. In order to hear God's words, we get God's will, we have to humble ourselves. In order to know what that is, we need to pray. And in order for that to be put into practice in our lives, we need to turn from the ways of the flesh and turn to what's right. We need to turn from the ways that are contrary to God's will for us and turn to the things that are what God's will for us is. You see, I believe that if we do these things, not only as a people, but as a nation, if we'll do these things, God will, according to what He's always done in the past and according to who He is in His nature, He will honor His promise. So let's read it again together. If my people, starts with us, who are called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin. And now watch this. Heal their land. Viruses are natural. They happen in this world. It's something that happens all the time. I believe I read this morning somewhere that there have been 23,000 flu deaths in the United States of America in this flu season alone. Viruses, they happen. It's something that takes place. But it doesn't mean that we cannot learn from each one of them. And in order to learn from each one of them, I believe that we need to seek the face of the Lord. We need to humble ourselves. We need to pray. And we need to turn from our earthly ways and turn to Him and to follow Him. And then I believe God will heal our land. Verse 15 says, now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayer that is made in this place. Somebody asked me the other day as I was talking with him, Pastor, what can we do in this time? Well, I believe we need to be wise and to practice common sense. We need to avoid extremes. And I believe we need to seek the refuge of the Lord. But in seeking the refuge of the Lord, we can truly do what 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, and that's put on humility and pray and pursue His face and to pivot from the things that are evil and toward the things that are good. And why can we do that? Because the Lord says, if my people do these things, then I will heal their land. What can we do as children of God? We can do exactly what God's called us to do. And there is nothing greater that we can do for this nation and for the world than to be the people of God. So let me kind of wrap this thing up. What do we do in this time? Well, we need to strive for wisdom and common sense. We need to seek the refuge of the Lord. And then third and finally, we need to simply trust the Lord. I love that word, trust. Trust the Lord. What does it mean to trust? Well, to trust means to literally put your life on the line in the hands of another. To trust Him means to say, Lord, You have all of me. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I'm okay because You got me in Your hands. We need to apply what we know of His promises to this situation. Why can we trust the Lord? Because He proved Himself to be trustworthy. Why can we always trust the Lord in any situation? Because we know He's made promises and He'll never break them. So we need to apply what we know of His promises to this situation. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose." All things work together for good. This is not something that we should say is a good situation. It is not good that people are out of work. It's not good that the economy is taking a hit that's horrible. It's not good that people are quarantined. It's not good that people are sick. All those things are not good, but you and I can trust the promise of God, knowing that He will take all these things and use them kind of like the cogs on a timepiece and a clock that turn together at the right synchronized time in order to make the hands move around and keep time. God takes all those things and He works them together, and somehow He brings them out for our good if we're called to His purpose. We need to know that God promises that, and He will always promise that. But then also we need to apply this promise as well. Psalm 91 verses 3 to 12. Here's what it says. I hope it'll be up on the screen, but if not, I'll give you time to find it. Psalm 91, verses 3 through 12. This is what the Lord says in His word.
Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence.
He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling, for He shall give His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. You see, ultimately, God knows you. Ultimately, He made you. He created you. He crafted you. He knit you together in your mother's womb. He has what's best for you. You see, if I fall pray to this virus and I get the coronavirus or whatever you want to call it, and I get sick, it's not outside of the promise of God. Because even in that dark valley, He's with me. Even in that dark time, He has me. If God forbid I should get that or anything else and should die, it's not outside of the promise of God. For He knows, and He has me, and He holds me. So I do not need to have a spirit of fear. And child of God, we do not need to be afraid. We need to understand and know that we, no matter what, we can trust the Lord. Faith, not fear. The Lord has not given us a spirit of fear. He's given us faith. And through faith, we can trust Him and believe Him. I said earlier in the beginning that if you're watching this broadcast and you don't know the Lord as personal Savior, can I just be honest with you? There is nothing greater that could come out of this situation in this time than for you to hear clearly the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. See, here's the reality. God made man in His image. And God made man and woman. Man and woman were with God, and they were one with Him, and it was a beautiful, perfect scenario. But because man has the free will that we have, man chose to disobey God and to sin. And because of that, man fell into sin, and there was a separation between man and God because of sin. God's holy and cannot receive sin into Himself. And so there was a break. Well, man tried many ways to get to God and to do things the right way and to do all those different things. But God had a plan all along. And He sent His Son Jesus to come and to live and to breathe and to walk among us do it without sin. You see, he was born not of an earthly father, but of the Lord and an earthly mother. So the sin that's passed from generation to generation did not affect him. He was born sinless. You and I were not. He was born sinless and he lived his life without sin. And then he sacrificed himself. Why? To pay the penalty that you and I couldn't pay because of our sin. He died on the cruel cross and he was buried. But 3 days later, God raised him from the dead to defeat death, to defeat hell, to defeat the grave. Why? Because God loves you. And because Jesus rose from the dead, he is now seated at God's right hand. And he's praying for you and he's praying for me. And here's what he's praying. He's praying for you. If you do not know him, he's praying that you would hear the message of his love for you. He gave himself so that you might be free from your sin. And all you have to do is simply say, God in heaven, I realize and recognize that I am lost without you. I've never trusted you. I've always leaned on myself. But God, I'm tired of that. I know I've done wrong. Please forgive me. I know what Jesus did for me. He died on the cross for me. Please come into my life, Lord. Please come in and save me. Forgive me of my sin. And God says that when he does that, he'll give you the gift of eternal life. And you can have the confidence in knowing that no matter what happens on this life, you'll spend eternity with him in heaven, in glory, if you trust him. Well, if that's where you are and you want to trust the Lord as your personal Savior, what I'm going to ask you to do is just pray with me. I would say bow your head and close your eyes, but you're probably in the privacy of your own home and nobody needs to know, so you can keep looking at the screen if you want to. The bottom line is what you sense and know in your heart. Not words, but how you feel humbly before the Lord. If you know that you need to trust Jesus as our Lord and Savior, here's what I ask you to do. Would you bow your head, or if you do, or however, but just repeat this prayer with me because you mean it from the heart. Dear God in heaven, I know I'm sinful. I've always depended on me. I'm tired of that. God, I know you love me. You proved your love for me when you sent Jesus to die on that cross for me. Thank you. And I know he rose again. He came up from the grave and to defeat, to pay the price for my sin. So God, please forgive me of my sin. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Cleanse me. Forgive my sin. And God, I want to make you the Lord of my life. I want you to be the most important thing to me. So I'm sorry for what I've done. Please forgive me. Come into my life. Lord, I trust you. I simply trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer with me, you know what happened? If you meant with your heart, you surrendered who you are to who he is. You took the responsibility that you've always taken on yourself to do everything according to your ways, and you've turned that over to him. And God says that when he does that, when he forgives you of your sin, he places himself inside of you. See, God is in three persons, Father, Son, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says that he has placed him inside of you. Yes, God places himself in you in the form of the Holy Spirit. You no longer have to sin. You have a choice. God's given you himself. There's so much to learn. There are things to do. You need to pray and learn to communicate with him. You need to read his word and all those things. You might say, I don't know where to start. Well, that's where people are here to help you. And we at Grace Point are here to help you. And so I want to ask if you would, you see the information on the website or wherever you're looking from or watching this from, find a number and call it. Let us know what happened. Let us know that you trusted Christ today. And we want to do everything we can to get resources in your hands and to pray for you and to encourage you and to help you grow in the Lord. We want you to do that. And then for those of us who already know the Lord, we need to remember his promises in this time. And I want you to notice, if you've noticed, if you've been seeing the PowerPoint, in the background of the PowerPoint on every single page, there's been a picture of a scale.
let me kind of give you a little anecdotal about that scale. Debbie had the idea yesterday, and she said, you know, you could take a visual. Brittany and my daughter, up at her house, they have an old-fashioned scale up in their kitchen, and you could go get that scale and use it, and now that's great. And I thought about it again at about 12 o'clock this morning. So I didn't have time to go up and get the scale. So what I did is I put the picture on the PowerPoint. Envision, if you will, that scale. The scale that you're seeing is out of balance. One side's down and the other side's up because it's heavier on one side than on the other side. Imagine if you think about the two extremes that I talked about. Presumption as a child of God. If you put that on one side and nothing on the other side, what happens? It absolutely falls to one end and it's not in any way even. Or if you take that one out and then you put panic on the other side. What happens? It's going to fall all the way down, and the other side is going to lift up, and it's not going to anyway be even. Those are extremes. However, if in those extremes you take exactly the amount of faith that you need, and you put it with the one, and the exact amount of faith that you need, and you put it with the other, and you put it down on those scales, the scales, if you'll go to the next slide, James, you'll see the scale that looks totally different. It's even. One side, the same as the other side. And if you'll click forward one more time, you'll see Debbie's favorite word pop up. I've heard this for 30 years. Her favorite word is the word balance. You see, you and I, as children of God, we need to live a balanced life. Everything that we approach needs to be from that perspective. I believe God wants us to be balanced. He wants us to understand, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that this has not caught him off guard. We can trust him. We can strive for wisdom and common sense. We seek the refuge of the Lord and simply trust him.
You have been listening to the Grace Point Church podcast. To listen to more sermons from Pastor Ben, you can subscribe to this podcast, watch past sermons on our YouTube page, or watch live on Sunday mornings on our Facebook page. You can also follow us on social media through Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube. All of these links are accessible on our website, www.gracepointsc.org. That is www.gracepointsc.org. If you like what you hear from the Grace Point Church podcast, give us a rating or comment on your podcast platform if they allow. For Pastor Ben Hill and Grace Point Church, I'm James Hicks. Thank you for listening.